This is John Gabriel with the Gabriel Method, and this is the second webinar in our 2015 Gabriel Method Detox. And I'm with Nadia Harper and our staff of very supportive people who are here to help you. If you have questions, just type them into the chat role, and we've got Den and Shan and Alice helping you with the questions, and also we'll bring Den in to ask the questions as we go along. Let's just bring Nadia in if we can. Nadia, are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
How are you, John?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm really good. Thank you.
Awesome. So we've gotten lots of questions since the last webinar. And as usual, you know, it's because it's such a new experience for people. We've got lots of different things are coming up. So I appreciate your support in our support area. I've seen you've been able to answer a lot of the questions. And what are you finding is coming up the most for people right now?
Today, a lot of people are wondering about headaches. So I think many people are trying to ease themselves off of caffeine and just eating a cleaner diet. This pre-cleanse will start the cleanse in your body. So some people, when they start the pre-cleanse, they feel some of those cleansing effects. So there's a lot of people asking about headaches and how to deal with that kind of thing, which is completely normal.
I would say, you know, from my experience, caffeine and coffee is one of the most challenging things to detox off of. I've never been a coffee drinker, but I know my ex-wife was a big coffee drinker, and if she ever tried to do a detox, she would get headaches and shooting pains down her legs. So that and tobacco, I'd say, are the two strongest noticeable signs of detoxification. And for me, it comes back to something that we talked about before, which is lots of hydration. That is, every half an hour, at least put some sort of liquid into your body, as much as your body wants. It could just be a sip, or it could be glasses and glasses, whatever it is. Expose yourself, offer your body liquid at least every half an hour to help flush out whatever it is you're detoxing, and that will help with headaches and other detox symptoms. Do you agree with that, Nadia?
Oh, I completely agree. And, you know, rest is very important. So give your body a lot of rest while you're detoxing. When you're in deep sleep is when your body can move a lot of those toxins efficiently through your body.
Absolutely. So let's just talk about where we are right now. So we're in the second webinar of the first week. So we're going to be talking about juicing. And there's a lot of myths about juicing, and we'll get into that in a minute. But we're going to talk about the right way and the wrong way to juice, because it's so important to understand what you should be doing when you're juicing while you're detoxing. We'll have one more webinar this week talking about finding your detox rhythm. And then next week we'll be doing webinars pretty much every day while you're doing the actual cleanse. So we're going to be talking about juicing, and I'm wondering if you can get started, Nadia, and just give us your opinions on, you know, what the best way to juice is.
Sure. So this is a really important webinar. I'm glad we're doing this during the pre-cleanse week.
Yeah.
And that when people think of juice, they automatically, a lot of people will think of orange juice and fruit juices, and that's not what we're talking about here. When we're talking about juicing for cleansing, we're talking about juices made out of greens, so green leafy vegetables and other green vegetables, and not fruit at all. If there is any fruit added, it's simply added for the purpose of just cutting the bitterness of the greens a little bit, and in that case, you're adding just a very, very small amount of fruit.
Right, and I would put into that category of fruit also carrots and beets.
So exactly.
Most juices have either carrots, beets, or fruit, and the sugar content, although they're great to eat, when you juice, it concentrates the sugar into your bloodstream too quickly, and it can cause a lot of hormonal problems. The opposite of the type of hormonal experiences that we want to have, and it's a very pervasive misconception, because I was speaking to a lady yesterday in our coaching. And she was saying, should I do the detox or not? And then she said, you know, I just can't drink another carrot juice. And I'm thinking to myself, you shouldn't be drinking another carrot juice at all, because carrot juice is not a detox juice in and of itself. It is the greens. So in the greens, there is chlorophyll. And chlorophyll is like a heavy metal magnet that sucks up heavy metals and flushes them through your system, and that's only in the greens. The greens are where the chlorophyll is. Chlorophyll also is a very strong antioxidant, which cleans out free radicals and other toxins in your system, and it's very alkaline. So it's the greens we're after. Is that right, Nadia?
Yeah, exactly. We're, like it says on the slide there, we're aiming for low glycemic and more hormonally sound juices, and that's what the greens do for you.
Yeah. Yeah. The other thing about juices is they're very hydrating. So it's a great way to get liquid, and it's a great way to get nourishment into your body. And this is really what I love about juicing, especially when you're detoxing, is the main thing that you want to do when you're cleansing is give your digestion a rest. That's what you want to do, because when you can give your digestion a rest, it does this massive house cleaning. And juicing is great that way because it doesn't require any digestion. What you've done is you've pre-digested the nutrients, and they can go right through the lining of your stomach and your intestines, right into your digestion, right into your bloodstream and into your cells without requiring any digestion. Is that right?
Right, exactly. And that's why, again, we're doing green juices, because they have there's such a dense concentration of nutrients, and that's what you're looking for, whereas fruit juices are a dense concentration of sugars, which is not what we want. When you do a green juice, your cells are going to get nourished. So this cleanse that we're doing is all about nourishment. It's not about deprivation. It's not about starving yourself and being really hungry. It's about nourishing yourself. I think of it as a feast. You'll be feasting on really nourishing, really yummy, delicious tasting drinks all week long. And the idea is not to be hungry. The idea is to completely satisfy the cells of your body. And you're doing it in a way that, like you mentioned, your digestive system doesn't have to break anything down. So everything gets easily absorbed into your cells.
Exactly. Yeah. So let's, we've gotten lots and lots of questions, as you know, from the last webinar and over the last 48 hours. Let's bring Den in now. We'll try to bring her in a few more times during this particular webinar so we can get as many questions answered as possible.
Hi, John. Hi, Nadia.
Hi, Den.
Hi, Den.
Hi. Okay. These are some questions from Monday or Sunday evening for others in the Northern Hemisphere. Carla wanted to know, thanks for the info about the greens. Are there recipes that we are to follow? I have found that some of the juices I do are nasty, and she's put that in capital letters.
Sure, yeah.
So I add some fruit, a little bit of stevia or lemon juice.
Yeah.
Well, you've already mentioned fruit, but would stevia or lemon juice be okay?
Yeah, they would be. Let me just start, Nadia, and then I'll hand it over to you. But there's some other ways to look at juices. Instead of trying to make them sweet, you might want to go for savory or spicy. So my favorite juice at the moment, and the juice that I was using when I was doing the detox, was a combination of celery, lemon, ginger, cucumber, turmeric, mint and parsley. Now, mint and parsley balance out the bitterness of the celery really nicely, but mint and parsley. But then I also put a little bit of Himalayan salt, and I put cayenne pepper. And cayenne pepper is really good because it's an antibacterial, so you're going to be killing all the unfriendly bacteria. But it's also changes the taste, so it's a different type of taste experience. It's more like, you know, when we were kids, we had that V8 growing up, and V8, you know, we put like it's like that bottled juice, and then you'd add pepper to it. If you think of juices along those lines, rather than what we're accustomed to thinking of juices of as something that should have an apple and a carrot and pineapple. You know, you look at some of the more popular juicing experts out there, and all of their juices that, you know, are, hey, I had a really good juice today. It was watermelon, pineapple, apple and carrot. You know, that was the juice. And I'm thinking, you know, that there's definitely nutrients in there, but the load of sugar that's rushing into your system so quickly causes hormonal problems. And a lot of people do experience hormonal problems from doing these long juice cleanses that they have, you know, 30 and 60 days where they're just on juices, and their body's just riding on sugar all the time. And the problem with riding on sugar all the time is you lose the ability to burn fat. You just become very dependent on sugar. So it's a vicious cycle. So I personally opt for going for spicy for juices. Another thing you can put is garlic and onions in juices, but going for the spicy, the basil, those type of almost Italian seasonings, going for that side with juicing is a totally different experience, and it'll totally eradicate your need for trying to make it sweet. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, all of those things you mentioned are things we use in our juice every day. And you mentioned cayenne pepper. We will also sometimes juice fresh chili peppers. And again, you want to go slow because once you juice it, you can't, if you put too much in, you can't take it out. So add a little bit first. And another way that we really like to increase the taste of our juices is by with lemons and limes. And if you get organic lemons and limes that don't have any pesticides on the skin, you can put the entire skin right through the juicer if you've got a juicer that can handle that. And that adds a really nice taste dimension to your green juice. And then aside from all of the things that you mentioned, there's also some of the other greens that have some nice taste too. Like you mentioned parsley, basil, mint, which are fantastic. And then things like Swiss chard, Swiss chard has a very salty taste. So that can give you a, you know, a different taste dimension as well. And mix things up, you know, next week when you start juicing, mix different things up so that you're not always having the same taste over and over again. And we also have some recipes that you can look at. So on the right-hand side of the screen under your detox resources, there's a link called Juice Recipes. So you can click there for some ideas as well.
Can I just ask, how do you feel about coconut water? Because that's what I tend to use, sort of a combination with cucumbers. Is that okay?
That's interesting. That's actually that is a very tasty combination of cucumber and coconut water. Makes a good combination. I would do that for one, maybe two juices a day, but I wouldn't be doing that five times a day. I think that that would also create a situation where you're just loading your body with sugar all day, and that can reverse the hormonal benefits that we're trying to create here. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, the coconuts that come from Thailand are quite sweet. So I would recommend diluting them next week if you're having them.
Okay.
There's quite a few questions about pre-making, how long you can store, and basically, can you make in advance? Can you freeze them?
Yeah.
How long in advance can you make them?
So we had a conversation about that a little bit in the last webinar, and my own experience is that what I was doing is I was actually getting juices made. I would order from a juice place 15 juices, and they would store them for 3 days. They would last about three and a half days max in the refrigerator. Around the the morning of the fourth day, I could taste that the juice tasted different. And then Nadia had an excellent suggestion that you want to get mason jars, which are the glass jars, and you want to fill them all the way up so that there's no air exposed, because the air causes an oxidation in the juice, and that causes it to go bad quicker. So if you can get some mason jars, fill them all the way up, put it in the fridge, they should last a good couple of days. I would say 3 days has been my experience. So what do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I mean, ideally the sooner you can drink them, the better, obviously.
Yeah.
But this is all about finding what works for you.
Sure.
So a lot of people, you know, that with their family life and other things going on, it is easier to make a bulk of juice ahead of time or get them ahead of time. So if you have to store them in the fridge, I would probably say not more than 3 days. And, you know, taste it. Like you were saying, John, on the morning of the fourth day, it tasted different. So see how that is for you on the third day as well. If it tastes not so great, then maybe try and make them every second day.
Mm. Okay.
About freezing them? Can you freeze them?
Yeah, what about it? What do you think about that, Nadia?
Yeah, again, fresh is best, and having them right away is best. But freezing them, I don't see that big of a problem with it. If you freeze it right away, so make it right away, freeze it right away. And then when you need to use it, of course, don't thaw it out in the microwave or anything like that. Just let it thaw out naturally on the countertop.
Yeah, I can't imagine that from a nutritional perspective, it shouldn't lose too much. It should last. Obviously, it's going to last much longer if you freeze it. But from a taste perspective, I've never frozen a juice to drink and then defrost it. So I can't say what it's going to taste like, how the taste is going to be affected. But give it a try, and it will definitely last longer that way.
Okay, thank you. Roberta asks, can we drink the same drink all day? So, and you've kind of already answered this, John, but say, for example, they've made a bulk amount of juice. Can they have that same all day in the one
day? We're going to be talking about this in the next webinar, finding your detox rhythm. So one thing you don't want to do is, you know, when we have a suggested schedule. You know, have a juice, have a super green at this time, have a shake at this time, have some broth at this time. Don't follow our schedule to the letter. Find your rhythm. You may find, I've done several detoxes now. I pretty much I'm averaging like once a year or so, I'm going to do a detox. And there are the last detox I did, I just was into broth. All I wanted was broth, and I had broth throughout the day. So I was, at the time, I remember I was writing a book, my visualization for weight loss book, and I was just sitting there. I just had broth in a cup, and I was sipping it throughout the day, and that was what was really working for me. And I had that pretty much all the time. Last detox, it was mostly green juices. So the first couple of days, you should experiment, but you may get into this rhythm where you're not going to want something that often after the first couple of days, and what you're going to want is just one particular thing. And from my perspective, that's totally fine. Your body will speak to you at that point, and you can just run with it. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, I agree. And then another point to add is at the beginning, variety is really important.
Yeah.
So when you stop eating food and you're only doing liquids, you're going to want to make it as enjoyable as possible. And it's nice if you have different tastes and you sort of look forward to the next different thing that you're having. And this is the first couple of days, especially when you're transitioning into detox mode. After about 30 hours or so, your body will switch over into detox mode, and then you'll find that rhythm that you were mentioning.
You know, this detox mode that you're talking about, Nadia, is I have to say, is one of the most interesting things. It's actually, to me, it's like if you look at your body as a computer, it's like a computer. It's a different operating mechanism, a different it's like going into a different operating mode, like a cleansing mode in the computer. You know, when you do a defrag on the computer and it goes into this mode where it's cleaning up everything, it's just this, your body gets it, and it takes about 30 hours. That's exactly right. And I recall now in some of the other detoxes that I've done is, the first couple of days I'm doing all these different things, and then you figure out what works for you. So maybe as I'm recalling my last one where I was on mostly broth, I was having green super greens and juices and lemon water and apple cider vinegar and some coconut water and all those kinds of things. And then I found this rhythm where my body was just saying, yeah, I'm in detox mode, and I want this broth is what's working for me, and I just ran with it. So the first couple of days, you expose yourself to as much as possible, but you will get into this sort of place where you're going to prefer one thing versus the other, and then just go with it. Don't sit there and go off of our schedule and feel like you have to do everything perfect by the book. Don't do that. Let your body guide you at that point.
Yeah, and I just want to build on what you said there about the detox mode being a different, similar to a computer being in a different type of programming state. In our bodies, the detox mode is a very natural thing. And if you want to make the analogy to sleeping, when you go to sleep at night, sometimes you sleep 8, 9, 10 hours at night, and you're not getting up to drink, you're not getting up to eat. A lot of times you're not getting up to go to the bathroom, you're sleeping. And that is a different mode that your body is in as well. It's a completely natural mode that we do every 24 hours. It's a cyclical thing. Detox as well is a cyclical thing. And we've moved very far away from this in our modern world. But if you look back in time, it's something that humans did often on a cycle.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Okay,
thank
That's
you.
An excellent point. Yeah. Okay.
Okay. Well, this is a very common question that we normally get. And I'd say it'll probably be asked again. How much? So when we're saying let's have a juice, say at 9 o'clock, how much should we be having? This is from Adam.
So my thing is, keep exposing your body to liquids, even if you're not thirsty, every half an hour, and then let your body decide how much it wants to drink. So if you have a sip of a juice or broth or whatever it is, your body's going to say, I want more or less, or not less, but your body's going to say, can I have more of that? Keep going with it. So what I have found is that I might just take a sip of something and that's it, or all of a sudden I find myself drinking a half a liter of liquid. So one thing that always amazes me is that when you get into this detox cleansing mode, it's actually unreal how much liquid your body wants sometimes. I mean, there are times when I must have had 7, 8 liters, certainly not every day, and it's not something I pushed myself, but there are days when I've had liters and liters. It was just unreal. And other days where I wasn't, you know, I just was in this state where I'm sipping the broth throughout the day and that's it. So once you get into that state, you gotta let your body run with it. I would say that in the beginning, you know, have a glass of each thing, you know, 8 ounces or something like that. Don't push it. If you want more, certainly have more. Well, what do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, don't force anything in. We ran into this in the last detox where some people were trying to, they thought they had to have a certain amount each time. And it's not about forcing it in. It really, really is about listening to your body. And the practicing listening to your body during this detox is going to help you to listen to your body once the detox is over as well, and when you go back to eating normal food.
Okay. Thank you. All right. So you've mentioned broth a few times, and a couple of people have asked, is bone broth okay?
Yes. So what do you think about that, Nadia?
Yeah, I think bone broth is fine. I know several people that use bone broth when they do detox cleanses. I typically use vegetable broth, but bone broth is completely fine. There's a lot of research that shows how many minerals there are in bone broth.
Okay.
Okay. What about tomatoes? Because that doesn't seem to be mentioned. Anya wants
tomatoes.
To know. Yeah, in the juices. Yeah, tomatoes.
Yeah,
yeah.
All right. Yeah, well.
Yeah, tomatoes. They're not easy to juice. When you put them through your juicer, they sort of just smush all over the place rather than being juiced easily. The way that I've found to juice tomatoes is blending them in the blender and then squeezing them through a nut milk bag. But they don't seem to work well in the juicer.
How about in a broth?
In the broth. So in the broth, you're going to be straining it all out. So if you want to put some tomatoes in there, and then after you strain them, some of the tomato flavor will be in the broth, but you'll be straining out everything afterwards. I mean,
There's an element of tomatoes that they're actually healthier when you cook them a little bit. There's a little bit more of the lycopene in the tomato when it's cooked, and it's also easier to digest. So that might be a good one to make a broth with.
Yeah, and that lycopene is also released when you blend tomatoes too.
That's true. Yeah. Okay.
Okay, Gail's asked, I have a lot of seaweed that I'm trying to learn to use. Is that good for these 2 weeks?
Seaweed is great during the pre-cleanse and for after we finish the cleanse. Next week, you don't really need to have seaweed next week, but right now it's perfect and then afterwards perfect.
Okay. Kelly, you've mentioned that a little bit of fruit is okay. Kelly normally juices with kale, celery, lemon, cucumber, and then adds half an apple. Is half too much?
I think that sounds okay.
Sounds great. Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll talk about that a little bit later today as well in the slide.
Yep. Yeah, okay. We'll talk about that right soon. Yeah. Go ahead.
Kevin asks, will Green Me Up Johnny be an okay substitute for a juice in a day if time is short?
Yeah, that's the whole point, is that's a really good one. The idea is here that you're getting nutrients into your body in the most effective way possible with the least amount of digestion. And that's what Green Me Up Johnny or Super Greens in general are. That's what juices are. That's what broths are. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, exactly. The Green Me Up Johnnies are a really great alternative if you can't get to a juice bar or get to your own juicer.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Okay. Carla asks a really interesting question. Will the detox help my adrenal fatigue and hypothyroid? Because I have a tendency to be fatigued, I do drink black tea. How can I avoid being fatigued during the detox?
If you have adrenal fatigue, I would say bone broth would be really important for you because when you have adrenal fatigue, it's difficult for your liver to detoxify. You're not producing enough glutathione. To detoxify your liver, and that's a bit of a problem. And certain experts have cautioned when you have adrenal fatigue of doing detoxes. But if you have bone broth, it does have MSM, which helps the liver detoxify. So I would say that that bone broth would be pretty important for you. What do you think, Nadia?
And then it's also important to remember that tiredness does happen when you're detoxing.
Yeah.
So a lot of people think that, you know, they're detoxing, they're not really, especially at the retreat I worked at, it was a really nice pampered retreat. And so a lot of people were just sitting around and they felt like they weren't doing anything. And they would come to me and ask, why are they so tired? Because they feel like they're not doing anything. But actually, at a cellular level, your body is doing a lot of work and it really does require rest. So some of the tiredness that you'll be feeling will be that happening as well. And it really is important to support your body and get extra rest.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Mia's question then ties in with that. Do you recommend exercising during the detox?
Yeah, let me start with that one, and then I'll hand it over to you now. So we do not recommend exercising at all during the detox if it is causing you to become out of breath or to have your muscles pumped up at all or anything that makes your muscles sore, because this is a cleansing mode. When you do exercise that breaks down muscle fiber, your body is in a rebuilding mode, and your body does not want to be into in a cleansing mode and a rebuilding mode at the same time. If you push your body into a rebuilding mode where it has to rebuild muscle fiber because you're breaking down muscle fiber, it will override the detox mode. So our bodies have priorities. For example, if you look at the sleep analogy that Nadia talked about, if you were sleeping and all of a sudden a tiger came and chased you, you would get up and start sprinting, and you would be in fight or flight mode, running real fast, because that mode is more important at that moment than sleep. So it overrides the sleep mode. In the same way, if you are breaking down muscle fiber, it overrides the detox mode. And you will start becoming hungry for solid foods, especially proteins, and you will activate your digestion, and you will be going against your body. So this is a cleansing, purifying mode. You can then, it's doing exercise right after the detox in the right way is an excellent thing to do, and we'll talk about that toward the end of next week. But certainly in the beginning, You want to be just resting and relaxing and letting your body heal. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, that's exactly it. When you're detoxing, you're trying to support your body as much as possible. So everybody, all of you are putting a lot of effort into this. It takes a lot of preparation and a lot of effort to do one of these detoxes. And so you want to get the best out of it. If you do exercise, like you were saying, John, you're going to be expending your energy on exercising and recovering from that exercise, whereas that energy can better be used for cellular detox. Yeah. And then all of that being said, it is important to move, though, while you're detoxing. So we don't want you to be doing any cardio exercise, but it is important to do things like yoga, stretching, walking, you know, light swimming, light jumping on a rebounder. You want to keep your lymphatic system stimulated, but without cardio.
So the idea is you want blood circulating, but you don't want to be out of breath and you don't want to be using muscle. So if you look at the yoga analogy, there's different types of yoga. So you could be doing what's called yin yoga, where you're just stretching and holding a pose for 5 minutes at a time. That's a beautiful thing to do. But if you're doing a vinyasa type of yoga, where you're doing a dog pose to a plank pose to a back stretch and then back up to a dog pose, and your triceps are getting sore and you're out of breath, that's not a good thing to do during the detox. The idea here is you want your systems to circulate. So you want your lymphatic system to circulate and you want your blood to circulate, but you don't want to do it in a way where you're out of breath or you're breaking down muscle fiber. So another good thing to do is to be in a spa, in a hot tub or a sauna, maybe take a cold plunge or be in a sauna and then take a cold shower. These things stimulate the circulation of your lymphatic system. And then a nice light walk will circulate your blood. So you want to circulate without causing stress and without causing your body to need to rebuild. Does that make sense, Nadia?
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Okay. So, Dan, we'll come back in a couple minutes. Let's just talk a little bit more about the juicing do's and don'ts, and then we'll come back for some more questions.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks. Okay. So, Nadia, we talked a lot about this, you know, this fruit thing. Let's just talk a little bit more about why we're mentioning this.
Yeah, exactly. This is really important. So, I'm happy to speak about it again. We're looking for the green juices. The juices that are green are going to be the ones that have the nourishment, the nutrients in them. The sugary fruit juices are what we're trying to avoid. Those are the ones that are going to ramp up your blood sugar and then bring you, crash you back down again. And so we don't want that while you're cleansing. We're trying to switch to a nice, even hormone balancing cleanse while we're doing this. And that's where the green juices come in. Now, we talked about this earlier about what you can do about the taste of your juices. So at the bottom of the slide there, you see it says try half an apple or half a pear, a quarter of a beetroot, or one carrot. If it's a really big carrot, maybe just half a carrot. So that will add a little bit of sweetness to your juice. It'll make it nice and palatable, but it won't add a whole bunch of sugar in there. Another trick to cutting the bitterness of greens is using cucumbers. For some reason, cucumbers really add they smooth out the greenness of the drink.
Right.
And then all of those other suggestions that we talked about earlier, the ginger, the garlic, chili.
Let's talk about that, because I think these are great. These work for me. So I have gotten off the idea that a juice should be sweet. So for me, a juice is a savory, tart, gingery kind of experience. So all of these things I put in my juice. So I put ginger, mint, parsley, salt, cayenne pepper, turmeric. These are the things that go in my juice. And obviously, yeah, I have cucumber and celery and lemon in it. But these are the types of things that work really, really well. They just feel so good in my body, and they make the juice a very pleasant experience. And I've gotten totally away from the idea that a juice should be sweet, especially if you put a little bit of extra salt or pepper in there. It becomes a really nice, savory experience.
Yeah, it really does. And it makes these things like the mint and the parsley and the ginger and garlic, they really change the taste profile of the juice. So it allows you to have green juices all the time, but very different tastes all the time. So you're not always having that same green taste all the time.
Exactly. So what is your juice typically like when you have a juice these days?
Always try and rotate my greens, so I don't like to use the same leafy greens all the time. And then all of these things that are here, I don't typically put salt and pepper in my juice or cayenne powder, but I'll put, like I mentioned earlier, the fresh peppers, and I'll switch those up too. So sometimes it'll be habaneros, sometimes jalapenos, whatever is fresh at the market is what I'll get. Same with the greens, whatever's fresh at the market. Mint, parsley, basil, I love putting those in my juice, and really with those a little bit is enough to infuse that flavor into your juice. I found that you can overdo it with mint, so you don't want to do a lot. We made the mistake one time of doing a mostly mint juice, and what happened was
you would have to really put a lot of mint in to get a mostly mint juice. You put it through the juicer, right? You didn't put it through the blender. You got the juice of the mint. Is that right?
We put it through.
You're not getting much. You had to put like bags of mint in there.
It was quite a bit of mint. We harvested it from the garden. And what happened was the juice, it took me a little while to drink it. And what I noticed is oil collecting on the top of my juice. And that must have been the oil from the mint leaves. And
actually, really good for you, but at the same time, not in a high concentration.
In a lot. Right, exactly. It's very, very good for you.
Almost became like essential oil. Almost.
Exactly. And that's what it felt like. It felt like it was just too much on my system. And, you know, it left both my husband and I feeling a little bit queasy after that juice. Same like I mentioned with the chili peppers, put a little bit in first and then taste it and see how it is and let your taste buds guide you. If you want.
What about
more
garlic? Do you ever put garlic in your juices?
Always. Almost always our juices have garlic in them.
Garlic is really good as an anti-inflammatory and antibacterial. So those are the things that we want to do in our digestion. In our detox, we want to kill the unfriendly bacteria, and garlic is really good with that. And we want to have anti-inflammatory. We want to reduce the inflammation in our body, and garlic's good for both of those. Is that right?
Exactly. And turmeric as well, and ginger. So our juices almost always have garlic, ginger, and turmeric in them.
Then a
mixture of the different greens.
Like obviously, garlic you can overdo too, right? I mean, we've all done that.
Yeah.
How much garlic do you put in usually?
We make a juice for two people every morning, and it's usually just one or two cloves of garlic, and not more than that. We're using elephant garlic right now. So one clove of elephant garlic is really big. So it's actually just a slice off of the elephant garlic clove that we're using. Okay. But if it's a typical clove, just, you know, one or two small cloves is fine.
Right. Okay. Let's talk about the different types of juicers that are out there, if we can.
Right. So there are lots of juicers on the market. This slide here talks about the centrifugal juicer and the masticating juicer. The centrifugal juicer is the one that probably first came out long ago when I was a child, and it works to juice things, but then the masticating juicer came out, which is much better because it squeezes the juice and you get a lot more nutrient-rich juice. That being said, though, if the centrifugal juicer is what you have in your home and that's what's available to you to use, go ahead and use that. It's really about using what you have, making this work for you. It's not about going out and spending hundreds of dollars just to do this juice right now. You can think about what you want to might invest in later, but, you know, use what you have. If you don't have a juicer at all, you can even do it with a blender and a strainer like we mentioned on the slide there.
Yeah, I think we even have a video on that, don't we? How to use a blender.
Yeah,
so you can check in the members area the different ways that you can use juicers. So I just want to mention a couple of things on this. So the masticating, if you're drinking your juices right there on the spot, there is an advantage to the masticating juicer because the masticating juicer preserves a lot of the enzymes and healthy, friendly bacteria in the juice, whereas a centrifugal juicer because it moves so fast, destroys those. But if you're juicing and then you're going to leave it in the fridge for 3 or 4 days, it's not going to make too much of a difference because a lot of those things are going to go anyway. But if you're drinking juice right there on the spot, the masticating juicer, also when you're out buying juices, and we'll talk about this in a second, they call it cold press. The masticating juicer is also called a cold press juicer. Cold meaning it doesn't have that centrifugal energy that happens when you in the centrifugal juicer. So it's cold press. Those juices do have another benefit. We don't talk too much about this in this. I don't see any slides on this, but as much as you can get pesticide free or organic greens, that's really essential too. That overrides to me. That's more important than whether or not it's a centrifugal juicer or a masticating juicer. So if you want to save money on the juicer and then spend it on getting organic or spray-free, and sometimes spray-free is not even more expensive if you go to a farmer's market, that's probably the most important consideration, especially when you're detoxing. You don't want to be taking a lot of pesticides.
That's a really, really good point. And for those of us where it's summer now, farmer's markets are fantastic. The last time we did a cleanse, we spoke to the farmer directly and were able to buy cases of things for much cheaper. So it didn't even actually cost too much.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So let's actually bring Dan back in and see if we can answer a few more questions.
Hi, John. Hi, Nadia.
Hi.
Hi, Dan.
Hi. Carol asked, if we were to do this detox at another time for more than 5 days, would we need to be concerned about having more protein? I know veggies contain protein, but is it enough?
Yeah, so let me answer that first. From my own experience is that when you're doing a detox, you're not needing a lot of protein, and it actually works against you to have protein. It's weird. I mean, protein, again, is something that I recommend at every meal, and when you're in your normal state, you need protein, but there's something about protein takes a lot of energy to digest, and it does activate the digestion, and it activates your rebuilding system. So it's better, if you're going to do a detox for longer, it's better to have lots of space to do it so you're not doing your normal activities. So you want to be able to relax and go easy and lie down whenever you want. So, for example, last time I did this detox, I was writing a book. And I spent a lot of time writing, but a couple of times during the day, I would just lie down whenever I felt like it. You need to have that type of space where you just lie down and relax and let your body cleanse. And then you have your proteins once you're off of the detox. And that's when you go back into the rebuilding mode. But the detox mode in and of itself is where you're just cleansing, and the protein is not as necessary because your body's trying not to break down muscle fiber or rebuild muscle. It's just trying to cleanse. What do you think, Nadia?
Yeah, and when you're, again, for this detox, we're really encouraging everyone to end on the 5 days, especially if it is your first time. If you are doing it at another time and you're going for longer,
It
really is important to listen to your body, because just like we talked about before about the different modes that we have, so when you go into, at nighttime, you go to sleep, you're in sleep mode. When sleep mode is finished, your body knows how to wake you up, and you wake up and now you're in waking mode. Your body knows that. And if same thing in detox mode, if you get start to listen to your body and start to pay attention to what your body is telling you, you'll be in detox mode. You won't be hungry. You'll find that rhythm. There does come a time when your body will tell you it's time to eat now. I'm finished detoxing.
Right.
And
right.
If you're doing a longer cleanse, it is really important to pay attention to that. And when your body tells you it's time to eat, it's asking for protein or it's asking for food, it's good to listen to that. Really important to listen to that.
Yeah, and I would just add to that and this is where it's important that you're an experienced detoxer or you're at a detox facility if you're going for a longer period of time, because when you get to that place, the worst thing you can do is push your body. So if you're at that place where your body's going along, you're in cooperation with your body. Keep it. When you get to a certain point, your body is on board with this detox. Your body wants to do this. Your body understands it. But the minute your body says, okay, I want to get off this detox, and you say, no, let's go another day, then you're in a different place with your body, and your body will shut down and go kind of into a panic place. So you do never, ever want to push yourself. What you should experience is a very gentle, over 2 or 3 day period, starting to eat more and more in a very gentle, slow, relaxed way. You shouldn't be famished. You shouldn't be starving. You shouldn't be pushing yourself. So if you start to have cravings, that's when you start to eat. If you do go longer and you feel like you need protein, my experience is the best type of protein to have when you're detoxing is spirulina. It's because it's easy on the digestion, so you can put like a teaspoon of spirulina in your smoothies or in your greens, super greens, that's a great way to get protein. It's very high in protein and it's very bioavailable protein. So that's what I would be using. But for this detox, we all want to get off of it together. And make sure that we all get off it the right way. And if you're going to do a longer one, you need to have experience, you need to have space so that you can rest whenever you want. And ideally, you need to still have some supervision.
Okay. Thank you. Stu asks a really interesting, well, it's a question that is probably particularly helpful for everybody. What about cleaning methods if you don't have organic produce?
Mm. Oh, good.
Go ahead, Nadia.
What we do here is we fill our sink with half filled with water, and then we put some apple cider vinegar in there, maybe about 2 or 3 capfuls of apple cider vinegar, and let the produce soak in there. And that's what we do to clean our produce. And we do that even if it's organic or conventional.
Yeah, I think we did a video on that too in the members area.
Yeah, now that you mentioned that, I think there is one. So if you look in the how-to videos, probably where it is.
Yep. Okay.
I'm not sure who this person is, but they've asked, could you just talk about creating the broth? And we do have a recipe in the how-to section, but this person says, I've made it twice and both were horrible. So any suggestions?
Okay. Nadia?
Yeah. So for doing a vegetable broth, you go and get all of the vegetables that you want to use. So you can use anything really, bell peppers, celery, turnips, potatoes. I'm drawing a blank here, but all sorts of vegetables you can use in your broth. Chop them up and you're doing a rough chop. So you're not finely chopping them, just nice big chunks. Put them in a great big pot on your stove and fill it up with water. And then you're basically going to bring it to a simmer and let it simmer for several hours. Now it can simmer for as long as 6, 7, 8 hours, and you let it simmer. You want all of the nutrients from the solid material to infuse into the broth. So the longer you can simmer it, the more that's going to happen. Once you're finished simmering it, then once it's cooled down enough that you can strain it, you'll strain out all of the solid food material, and the liquid that's left over, that's your broth. What you can also do is once you've made that broth and then you're going to eat it or drink it during the cleanse, you can sprinkle some cayenne pepper on there. You can chop up some garlic, just chop some cloves in bigger pieces, not finely chopped, but just chop a clove in 2 or 3 pieces and put it in there. You're not going to eat the garlic that you put in there. You're not going to eat you can also chop up some chives, some onion chives, some parsley. You can put those in there. You're not going to eat those, but you're just going to let them infuse into the broth in your bowl, and you'll drink the broth around those solid bits of material. That's another way to just get flavor. Some sea salt as you're serving it for yourself can be really nice too.
Yeah, my experience with the broths is the only problem is usually not that they taste bad, but that they're bland. And then the more cayenne pepper, sea salt that you put in. Sometimes I put a lot of cayenne pepper, sea salt, garlic. You just put a lot of those tasty things in, and it comes good. But feel it out, you know, just in your bowl. Don't season the whole thing, because if you go too far with the pepper or chili pepper instead of cayenne pepper, also if you go too far, you can't go back. So just take a bowl, season that, and play with that, and eventually it comes good. That's been my experience.
And then doing it one bowl at a time allows you to have different tastes as well throughout the week, which is really nice.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. All right. This is a question that we is quite common, and we'll probably get it again. What can we do with the veggies that we strain from the broth? And of course, it's a pulp that from the juices as well. What do we do with it?
Yeah. So, I like to eat from juices or broths. You can use that and make, I usually make burgers with it. You wouldn't have it when you're detoxing, but you can take mince, either beef mince or chicken mince or even fish mince, and mix it with those and make patties and it makes really good different chicken burgers and fish burgers, and that works really well for me. You can also dehydrate them and make crackers out of them, and that works really well too. And there's different recipes floating around for making veggie crackers. What do you like to do with them, Nadia?
Yeah, the pulp from the juice I often use to make crackers. And
so how do you make the crackers?
So I take the pulp from the juice, I put it in the blender, and then I'll add, depending on what I feel that day, it's always different. Sometimes I'll add some flax seeds or chia seeds, and maybe half a tomato, a little bit of an onion, a clove of garlic, and I'll blend that up. And I really just let my taste buds guide me. So I'll taste it. If I feel like I want it more salty, I'll put some sea salt. If I want a spicy cracker, I might throw in a chili pepper. And I just add ingredients until it tastes nice. And I spread that on my dehydrator tray and let it dehydrate into crackers. Another really fun thing I do with the pulp of the juice is I use it as a face scrub. So I'll just grab, and you only need a little bit. So this just uses up a little bit of it, but just grab a little bit of it and just scrub it all over your face and your neck and leave it on there while you're washing your juicer, and then rinse your face off. And that's just a really fun way to use it.
Wow. Very cool.
That's cool.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. Adam asks, you mentioned that during the detox, our bodies will tell us when it needs more fluid. Do we focus on the juice to fill this need, or the broth, or just water?
No, you go find your own rhythm. So try different things in the beginning that work for you, so that your body knows what you'll start to crave. Hey, I want more water. I want more juice. I want more broth. My experience, every detox I've done is different, and every person is different. So find your rhythm and what works for you. What do you think?
Yeah, and especially the first couple days, have everything. So every hour or two, make sure, even every half an hour if you need it, make sure you're getting something in, and have different things. So one time have water, then have broth, then have a juice, then have a detox tea, and have it all so your body gets used to all of the different tastes. And then as you find your rhythm, like John said, you'll be able to find the one that your body will know what it wants to ask for.
Right.
Okay. Well, Adam's question then, and you've mentioned this, but could you just reiterate? On the page, it says, Adam says, I only see the soup mentioned once per day on the schedule, but can we have it more than that?
Adam, listen to me, and everybody that's listening, that schedule is not a limiting schedule. It's just a suggestion to expose you to all the different things. You can make your own rules. Anything that's on there, you can have as much as you want throughout the day. There's no limit. You find what works for you. This is just, we're giving you all the different things that are very high in nutrients and very cleansing, and that combination without activating your digestion too much. That's what these things are. So you find your rhythm and whatever works for you. What do you say, Nadia?
No, I exactly agree. And the thing about this is we are here to support you, and we're here with you all for the whole 2 weeks.
Yeah.
But along with that, this is also about you getting to know your body. So it's about you tuning in and finding out, you know, am I thirsty? Do I need something? What taste am I looking for? And trying to listen to what your body is telling you. This is a skill that if you practice during these 2 weeks, it's going to be really beneficial for you as you move forward.
Yep. Okay.
Okay. Elizabeth asks, can we use Vital Greens if our Green Me Up Johnny hasn't arrived in time?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay. Can you just, Emily wants to know, can you just let us know what your favorite juice is again?
Me personally?
Yes.
So my juice, and it's probably in, I'm guessing it's one of the juices in the juice recipe, but I like to use celery, lemon, ginger, cucumber, turmeric, mint, and parsley. And then I also put sea salt and cayenne pepper. That's my juice. In varying degrees. So, you know, the bulk of the liquid comes from the celery and the cucumber. Then there's a little bit of lemon. You can taste the lemon, so you don't put as much lemon. And then you put a little bit of the other ingredients in and kind of make it your own. But that sort of balances out. There are times, though, I notice as I go through the detox that my desire for spicy increases. And I think the reason that is because spice is really good at killing bacteria. And when you go into this cleanse mode, your body has the energy takes all its energy and focuses on killing unfriendly bacteria. It's almost like it says, okay, now we can focus on this issue. And so you start to crave things that are antibacterial, antifungal. And so there are times when I might put like a half a don't try this in the beginning, but almost like a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper in a juice. I get this kind of insatiable desire for spice. But,
yeah, I do as well.
You do as well, yeah. So and I think that's the reason. I thought about it a few times, but my body was... So play with that, but in the beginning, just put a little sprinkle of salt and cayenne pepper and these other ingredients. Yeah.
Okay, that's interesting. Sarah wants to know, what about eggs this week? And I just want to just confirm the question then, are eggs okay for next week?
Yeah, so next week is we're trying to have just liquid. What we want to do is give our digestion a break so that we can really detoxify. Lots of liquids, lots of super healthy liquids, but just mostly liquids. Eggs have a lot of protein. They've got some fat, and they've got also, especially egg whites, have something called albumin, and that are all very taxing on the digestion. They're okay this week, and going forward, they're great. And in general, you might want to experiment with having egg yolks as opposed to egg whites. I find that egg whites are much more taxing on my digestion than egg yolks. Egg yolks are much easier to digest, but for this week and then following after the cleanse, they're fine. But next week during the cleanse, we want to do as much liquid, high nutrient liquids that don't require digestion. What are you saying, Nadia?
Yeah, and this week, even if you're having eggs and things like that, also be sure, try to have a lot of high water content vegetables this week. So lots of greens this week, lots of fruits and vegetables this week, along with, you know, any eggs that you might be having.
Yeah. Okay, Dan, let's just finish up the webinar so we can finish up in time, and then I'll bring you back in, and we can answer a few more questions, okay?
Okay, thank you.
All right, excellent, thanks. Okay, so let's talk about when we're on the go. This is something I do all the time, is I get a lot of my juices on the go. So what are some good suggestions for that?
So the first thing I want to talk about is if you're planning on getting your juice at a juice bar, make sure that you get to the juice bar before you're hungry. So, for example, if you have something to drink at 9 a.m. and then you're thinking that you're going to have your next thing to drink at 10:30, don't wait until 10:30 to go to the juice bar, because you have to give yourself, you have to wait in line, they have to make it, and you don't want to allow, you don't want to let yourself get hungry. So if you're planning on having a juice at 10:30, get to the juice bar by 10 so that you have time for them to make it and you have it in your hand, have it in your stomach by 10:30. You go to the juice bar, you're going to look for the green juices. So at juice bars, they will have lots of sweet juices and they'll have greens as well. They'll typically have a green type of juice on their menu, but even that green juice is going to have some fruit in it. They like to make things sweet because that's pretty much what people want, is something that tastes sweet. That's not what you're looking for. So if it's on the menu as a green juice, make sure you look at what's in the green juice. And if it has fruit, sweet things in it, apples, carrots, beets, tell them that you don't want those things in there. Half an apple is okay, but you don't want all of those things in there.
So what I typically do, because this is a big thing for me, I buy a lot of my juices, is that I find that it's very rare that a place will have a juice on their menu that is ideal. So I'm always customizing my juices, and you might want to customize your juices too. So if you're at the most like generic type of juice place, it's not like a real super health place that's got lots of different varieties, the most generic ones will always have celery, lemon, and ginger. So most of the time, if I'm in just a real generic place at like a food court at a mall, for example, you can get celery, lemon, and ginger. So my juice is usually going to be something like celery, lemon, and ginger at a food court at a mall. But if they have cucumber, I'll ask for cucumber. If they have mint, some places have mint, parsley, turmeric, I will ask for all the other things that are in my juices if they have them. But it's usually the first primal ingredients that you can almost always get is celery, lemon, and ginger, and then cucumber at certain places. And so those are the first things that you'd want to be looking for.
Yeah, that's a really good point, is just ordering, not ordering off the menu, but ordering a custom drink.
Okay. All right. And then, so if we can't have juices, what are we going to be doing?
So before we move on to this, I just want to go back to the last slide, if we could, for a second. There was a lot of people are asking, or I know will ask, about buying those ready-made juices. that are ready-made. So those ones, as well as they're usually sweet when you buy them. So if you buy those ones that come, they're the cold-pressed juices that are in the refrigerated section of the store. Make sure they are in the refrigerated section. And like it says there, they have an expiry date of less than a week. That's how you know they're more fresh. And then dilute them one part to four part water so that you can take care of the real sweetness that's in there. So you're still benefiting from it, but you're not getting that sugar rush.
And that being said, some of those cold-pressed green juices, if you read the ingredients, there are some that are just green. It's rare, but they're just greens. And I think those are really nice, so I would look for those. And then there's other ones that are mostly green and then have a little bit of apple or something like that.
Right.
Those are good, too. But definitely read the ingredients. You want to be looking for mostly vegetables. Okay?
Yeah.
Okay. And then if there's no juices anywhere, what should we be looking to do?
Yeah. So like it says here, you know, almost everywhere you go, orange juice is available. Lemons you can usually get. Again, just dilute it, one part of the fruit juice to four parts water. And
yeah,
it's all about doing your best, like it says there. You can't fail at this. It's just about doing what works for you depending on where you are. So try to prepare as much as you can ahead of time. If you know you are going to be out, try to think ahead of time so that you can bring juices with you or plan to be in a place where there is a juice bar. But if that isn't happening for you, then you know, you can look for orange juice or lemon juice and then just dilute it.
Yeah.
Bring
so
the Green Me Up Johnny powder with you as well.
Yeah. If it's orange juice, you want to make sure that it's real fresh squeezed orange juice. And I would dilute it like one part orange juice to four part water because orange juice is very, very high in sugar. But I think the most important point here, Nadia, as you say, and we've said this many times and we'll continue to say, is you want to be as prepared as possible with this detox. You always want to know where all of your sources of juices, broths, you want to know where things are. You don't want to have to think about it once you're in a state where you're like, oh, I need something. You want it all ready and available and at your fingertips. That's
right.
The way I would want to do it. If you want to really make this as easy as possible, you have everything at your fingertips in the fridge at work or the fridge at home, whatever, and you're just the only thing you got to do is open up a container and start drinking.
Exactly.
You don't have to go looking around and say, what do I do now?
That's
really important.
If it's juice bars that you'll be taking advantage of, spend some time this week to source out where those juice bars are, depending on where you'll be in your city.
Yeah, yeah. Okay. And like we say, you know, just do your best and just keep liquid going through your body. That's the important thing here. Just keep liquid going through your body as much as your body wants. Every half an hour, drink something and let your body determine how much you should drink. Yeah?
Sounds good.
Okay, excellent. All right, so let's bring Dan in. That officially concludes the webinar for on juicing for today, but we'll stay a little bit longer and try to answer some more questions. And whatever questions we don't get to in this webinar, we will continue to answer in the members area and also in the other webinars. So let's bring Dan in if we can.
Hi, I'm back.
Hi.
Okay, Sharon asks, do we have to stop having juice 3 hours before going to bed like we do with food?
No. Those rules do not apply here. You want to be drinking juices and broths and super greens as much as you want, whenever you want.
Okay, thank you. A lot of people have been talking about the veggie crackers, and I think it's all talking about this food is making everyone hungry.
Yeah, always like that. Yeah.
If you don't have a dehydrator, what can you do?
Yeah, you can put it in. You can put it in your oven at the lowest setting with the door just ajar slightly. Leave it till it's crispy on one side, then turn it over and make it crispy on the other side. Veggie crackers are just the most beautiful invention on this planet, if you ask me, because they're crispy, crunchy. If you season them well, they're very tasty, and they're super healthy. Yeah. Do you have them a lot, Nadia?
Yeah, I make them all the time, all sorts of different kinds.
Yeah.
That's
one of those things. I wish I made them. I just am not as organized as you, but I get them all the time. There's a health food store where they make them all the time, and they're just fabulous.
Yeah, and it's a really nice way if you are juicing a lot. It's a really nice way to use that pulp.
Yeah, excellent. Okay.
Stephen asks, how long after waking should you have your first juice, tea, or broth?
you're going to be really, I find that you need to hydrate yourself as soon as you wake up, because usually when you wake up when you're detoxing, that's when you might feel like a headache or just not so great. And the more you can drink, I would have lemon water or apple cider vinegar water first thing, a couple of glasses first thing, is right next to your bed, even before you get out of bed, and it'll just make you feel so much better. That's the only time I find when I'm detoxing. I don't know about you, Natalie, but it's the first thing in the morning, I'm like, oh, I don't feel so hot. And then I start hydrating myself. I start feeling better and better. Have you experienced that, Natalie?
It's always different for me. Sometimes there is that kind of grogginess in the morning. But that drinking that water, that lemon water or water with apple cider vinegar, is really, really good to do all the time, even when you're not detoxing. Because when you wake up in the morning, you actually are breaking a cleanse. You know, you've cleansed all night long. That's when your body does most of its cleansing, which is why you probably feel that way in the morning, John, is because your body's pushing everything to the surface. And then you wake up and you've got it there, and now your body needs to eliminate. Drinking that water is going to help that elimination to happen first thing in the morning.
That makes sense. Okay.
Okay. Laura asks, are coconut milk and almond milk okay for next week during the detox?
Have those this week. Have those this week, and they're great to have after the cleanse. But next week, I would stay a hold off on the coconut milks and the other nut and seed milks.
Okay. In general, nuts and seeds, should we be steering clear of those next week as well?
Yeah. All of those things are difficult on your digestion, and that's the whole idea. Is we just want as much liquid that's very high nutrient, very easy on your digestion. That's what we're after next week.
Okay. Anya wants to know, can we use a crock pot to make the broth?
Sure.
Yep.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And Sedona asks, any special instructions for juicing wheatgrass?
Yes. You need a masticating juicer to juice wheatgrass. You can't juice wheatgrass in a centrifugal juicer. You need the ones that, like what we were talking about before, the masticating juicer, which is like a screw that pushes it through. In a circular motion, and it squeezes the juice out. That's the type of juicer you need. You can also have a handheld wheatgrass juicer, but it has to be a juicer that specifically does wheatgrass.
Okay. Cheryl asks, and I think I'm not sure about this, what is a fish or beef mint?
Sorry?
Yeah, I think that might have been, she's just misheard. You were talking about mint before.
Yeah.
Nadia?
I'm not sure either. I'm thinking that it might be what, John, when you were talking about making the patties. When you
mint
is Australian for ground. So like ground beef, ground chicken, ground fish. And I've acquired some Australianisms, but they call it mince here.
just have to make you say tomatoes.
Yeah, I'm not there yet.
Stu asks, do you have any dehydrator recommendations? And you do actually on your website, don't you, Nadia?
Yeah, I do. I use one called the Excalibur, I've had it for years. I use it all the time, and it works really great. A lot of other ones will work great too, but this is the one I'm familiar with that works good for us.
Okay. Carol asks, can we freeze the crackers?
The crackers?
I don't think you need to.
No.
The crackers will last in the fridge forever, I think. Well, not
yeah,
forever,
as long as they're dehydrated completely, then they have no moisture left in them, and they'll last. I store mine in a glass jar, and sometimes I put them in the fridge, sometimes just on the countertop, and they last a long time.
I find they stay crispier in the fridge, but I don't think you need to freeze them.
I actually think you eat them too quickly anyway, so it's not a problem.
Yeah, totally right.
Adam asks, are we to use the Green Me Up Johnny during the detox, and if so, how much?
Yes. Yeah, so feel that out, but a couple of times, start with a couple of times a day, the first day or two, and then feel out you may not want to use it at all, or you may want to predominantly have that as your number one liquid of choice. See how you feel about that.
And with
Yeah, go ahead.
The Green Me Up Johnny, that's really nice if you're going to be away from your home. You can take that with you and then just mix it up in a glass of water wherever you are.
Yeah.
Okay. For people who are worried that they won't receive it in time, can you just sort of reiterate that it's not a do or die case if they don't have it too? That's a question a lot of people ask.
No, it's just another thing. So what we're doing is we're giving you options, as many options as possible. If you want to get super greens, you can go to the store and just get pretty much any type of super greens, because that's what a Green Me Up Johnny is. If you have access to one by Garden of Life, I like the Garden of Life in the U.S. Garden of Life has a good super greens. It's called raw super greens. That's a good one. If you're in Australia, Vital Greens is a good super greens. So that's one you might want to try in Australia, New Zealand, Vital Greens. But they're super greens, and they're not essential. If you look at what the commonality of each thing that we recommend, the common thread is that they're very high in nutrients, very easy to digest, high liquid, and just go right through your system.
Okay. Gail asks, where do the oils come into the picture?
Go ahead.
The oils that she might be talking about are when you make the detox tea, you're putting oil in your detox tea, oil yeah. or grass-fed butter or ghee in your detox
That's
tea.
Right. That's right. Yes.
Okay. Claudine asks, what about pure maple syrup as sugar instead of sugar?
During the detox, you won't be using maple syrup. After the detox, when you move back into a diet, maple syrup can be a sweetener that you can use in moderation.
Yeah.
Okay. Nicole asks, can you use lemon essential oil in place of lemon in water?
Lemons are pretty easy to get. I would suggest using fresh lemons if you can. If you do choose to use lemon essential oil, you need to be very, very sure that it's a food grade essential oil
I would say no to that also, you know, because if you look at when you squeeze lemon into a water, it's not just oil that's going in. There's a lot of other things that are going in from the lemon
right. That
are very high nutrient, you know, very important cleansing, detoxifying properties. It's not just the oil.
Right. And it's actually none of the oil because the oil
right.
is all in the peel.
The oil's on the skin.
And when you're squeezing it, it's just from the pulp.
Yes. So it's not the same experience at all, no.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. I would avoid the essential oil. Just use fresh lemon.
Okay. Yeah. Carla asks, can we have any herbal tea? And then she asks, what is the coconut oil drink? So I thought maybe if you could just explain where that is and what it is.
So with herbal tea, you're looking for, there's a whole range of herbal teas out there. You can really mix and match and get a variety of them. You're just looking for teas that have no caffeine in them and read the ingredients and make sure it doesn't have anything else added. So no added sweeteners or anything. It's just the herb you're looking for. So for example, in a peppermint tea, the ingredient should be just peppermint. Or in a mixture of herbs, herbal tea, just those herbs in the ingredient list.
Right. And the other thing, Nadia, that you said before, which is really important, is to make sure that it's not decaffeinated, specifically decaffeinated, because then it becomes
right.
a highly chemicalized situation.
Right. Right. And then with the oil question she asked, I think that's, again, about the detox tea. And there is a video to show you how to make that, but basically you're going to brew your herbal tea. And then you'll put the herbal tea that's brewed already, take the tea bags out, put it in your blender, and put about a tablespoon of whatever oil you're using, either coconut oil or grass-fed butter or ghee, in your blender and blend that up. And it makes a nice frothy drink. And then there's variations on that. You can add a little bit of cinnamon in there.
Let me just interrupt for 1 second.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I'm going to have to step away for 1 minute. Nadia and Dan, you keep going, and I'll be right back.
Okay. Yeah, so that's basically how you make the detox tea, and then there is a video in the how-to section to show you how to do that step by step.
A lot of previous detoxers have found that tea very soothing because it has quite a thick consistency, which is something that you miss, I think, when you're just having juices. I know.
Right.
I still have it. It's actually something I still have.
Yeah, it is really nice, and the thing with the oil is that oil is very satiating, so it's going to give you a nice, satisfied, full feeling that is very nice to have during the detox. And the other thing with the detox tea is, for those of you guys that are in the middle of winter right now, it's really important to keep yourself warm during the detox. And the detox tea is obviously a nice hot drink, which is very good at helping you to stay warm.
Okay. Sharon asks, do we still use the chia seeds in the detox week?
Yeah, you do. So if you look at the schedule, there's something called an omega shake, and that's with the chia seeds. So that's mixing chia seeds in a glass of water.
I've got some right now.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, that's what I always have when we're doing these webinars, because it kind of keeps me full. And
yeah, chia is amazing at giving hydration to your body. So they're really nice during the detox.
Okay. Monica asks, can we add things like lacuma? I'm not sure how to pronounce it. It's lacuma or lacuma or maca to the juices.
No, not next week. So lacuma powder and maca powder, they will activate your digestion. So I would hold off on those. Those are great foods, but they're great to have before and after the detox. During the detox, yeah, I would hold off.
Okay, I'm back. Yeah, I agree with that. There are such super foods, but you want to have them before and after, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Adam, Stu says, are teas like Symington's dandelion tea any good?
I didn't catch it. What was it?
Some kind of dandelion. It's a name brand of a dandelion. Dandelion tea is really great if it's pure dandelion. A lot of them put a combination of lots of other things in there. But dandelion in general, it's just pure dandelion. It's a great tea because it's very good to help the liver detoxify.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yeah, it is. Dandelion's really, really good, but it does have a bitter taste. So a lot of times they will add other things to make it sweet.
Right.
Okay. That's all the questions we have.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Okay, so we will be back in 47 hours. We'll have another webinar to get ready to basically find your detox rhythm, which we've touched on a lot through this class, which is really that we've laid out a schedule for you, but it's not written in stone. It's just there to help you figure out what's best for you. But when you get into your rhythm, you pretty much start to make your own rules after the first day or two. And we'll talk a lot about that. In the meantime, enjoy. And if you have any questions, just post them into the members area, and we will be right there as soon as possible to help answer. So thanks very much. And thanks also again to Dan and Shan and Nadia and Alice and Aaron and everybody that's on the webinar right now. And we'll talk to you real soon.
Take care. Bye, John.
Thanks. Bye, Nadia. Take care.